County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
It is our back-to-school series, about 3 weeks worth of interviews with local leaders in education as we scan around all of Douglas County. And Dr. Paul Hillier in with us today, interim superintendent at the South Umpqua School District. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
So, overall, how did you feel like the start of the school year went for South Umpqua?
Well, outside of the smoke issues, it went really well. I mean, everything was ready to go. The kids came in excited to be back. And as I'm going through the buildings regularly, I see the young people just kind of getting back into the routine. It takes a little while, though, you know, after you've been in a kind of a summer mode. It takes you a couple weeks to get the kind of rough edges off. But I think the young people are ready to go and pretty enthusiastic seeing them around the hallway.
So talk about your background. You're here as an interim superintendent, but back up and talk about what you've done professionally over your career.
Well, I've been in education. This is my 42nd year. I started out as a fifth grade teacher and did some teaching of PE and English to middle school students, and then became an elementary principal for almost 20 years before becoming a curriculum director for 10 years, and then I've been a superintendent for 16 years, going on to my 17th year as a superintendent. So I've had a chance to do a lot of different things in education and have enjoyed them.
And I understand a lot of that was not in Oregon, but elsewhere.
That's correct. I started out in Iowa and spent a lot of my time in Minnesota before I took my first superintendency in Columbus, Nebraska, before moving with my wife and family out to the West Coast. And we've loved it out here. It was a good decision for us. We really like Oregon, and we just love the beauty of the area that we live in.
And so other than doing this work this year, where do you make your home?
On Klamath Falls. We still have a home there and enjoy that community and learning Myrtle Creek and really enjoying that area as well. It's just the beauty of Oregon just always amazes me. So much variety and just everywhere you go, there's something to see. So we've enjoyed it greatly in Myrtle Creek too. So it's a beautiful area.
Now, after spending so much time around the Midwest, what drew you to Oregon to begin with?
Well, it's kind of funny. My brother and I were talking about that. He lives in Nebraska, and we were talking about, well, where would be a good place for me to look for a superintendency? And then he said, well, why don't you go to a place that you'd like to retire in? So Oregon was one of those places, and when the opening occurred in Klamath Falls, I applied for it and been here ever since. And we came out here in 2010, so we've been here 13 years and never have looked back.
Now, why be an interim superintendent? That seems like a really tough job.
Well, it is kind of interesting. Our board chair, Jeff Johnson, gave me a call out of the blue one day. I wasn't looking for work. I've been retired for a couple of years before we came here. And he asked if I would be interested and willing to help out for a year. And my first thought was, not really. I'm not really looking to come out of retirement. But I thought about it for a day. I looked up the South Umpqua School District, read about it, and saw they had a lot of good things going on there with different programs and different ways that they were doing their instruction in the schools. And then I thought, well, you know, if I can help a group of students, you know, approximately 1,500 students, have a good school year, if I can be of help doing that, why not do it? So I called Jeff back in a couple of days and said, yeah, Jeff, I'd be willing to help out for a year. So that's how I ended up here.
Now, this the South Umpqua District, considerably smaller than Klamath, though, right?
Yeah, it's about half the size as the Klamath School District was. So a little different that way, but being a superintendent is kind of similar regardless of size. So, and I'm really enjoying it. Just so many good people to work with every single day, and the young people are always exciting to be around. So I'm enjoying it.
So what are your top goals for this year?
Well, I've got four that I asked the board to approve in our last board meeting, which was just on Wednesday. And the first one is we're redoing our school crisis plan to make sure that we have everybody aligned and working together in the same direction with our drills, with preparing for emergencies and so forth. And so that's my first goal, is to really redo the district crisis plan and bring that to the board for approval in their February board meeting. The second one is really an important one to the district, and that is to help them with their superintendent search, to help them find a full-time replacement. And we'll be moving forward on that very shortly. We're already working on it, actually. The third one is an academic goal to help the district improve in their reading and math scores, and also in increasing graduation rate for the 2024 class, and also having our ninth graders be on track to graduate by having enough credits under their belt by the end of ninth grade to be able to project themselves as graduates 4 years later. And then the last goal is just to help the district stay on track financially, to make sure we stay within budget and that we prepare well budgetarily for the next school year.
Let me back up to the third goal. You talked about ninth graders, and it seems like a lot of folks at education really feel it's pivotal to keep track of students that year so that they are on the right path and not trying to make up a lot of lost ground later on in their 4 years as a high schooler.
Yeah, it's really critical. If you can get a ninth grade student started off on the right foot, you have a really good chance of having that young person become a graduate 4 years later. Conversely, if you get off on the wrong foot as a ninth grader, it can be very difficult to make up for lost time and lost credits as you move forward. So, you know, it is just absolutely critical that every ninth grader has six credits before they go on to their sophomore year, and that way they're on track to graduate later. So it's an important goal.
Now, going into this school year, when did you actually begin work?
I started the first part of July, July 5th, actually, and been working ever since, helping prepare for this school year.
So between last school year and this school year, what about changes in the district? Anything in particular?
I think maybe the biggest change is more of a structural change than a specific programmatic change or something like that. What we've done is we've taken our district mission statement, which is helping each student reach their full potential, and we've created a vision statement to help realize that vision in a more concrete way with the goals underneath that. And really, our vision statement to help every student reach their full potential is to help each student do their best work and become their best selves. In other words, really focus with each student on academic success, but also on character development. You know, I think it's so important. It's part of my philosophy of education is it's not enough just to help young people become smart, but it's also extremely important to help them become good people so that they can become contributing members to their families, to their communities, and to society as a whole. So that structural change maybe doesn't sound too important, but we have all of our schools working on those two main goals, and we're having that go down to the classroom level where every teacher is also working on those two goals with a systematic improvement plan to help bring it about.
Talk about the recently completed construction work at Coffinberry Middle School.
Yeah, it's really turned out to be a beautiful building, and it was an important initiative. I really give the former superintendent, Kate McLaughlin, credit for the vision of that building. We had some grant funds that were able to be used to build it. And the thing that was really important about that building is prior to its construction, the Coffinberry Middle School had to share the cafeteria with the elementary school that was down the hill from Coffinberry. And the students from Coffinberry to get to that cafeteria actually had to cross a fairly busy street to get there every single day. So just from a safety perspective, having this cafeteria right near the academic building is really important. And then also from just a time perspective, you know, it used to take 5 minutes at least to walk up and down that hill each way. And to save 10 minutes a day of instruction time is also a big deal. The cafeteria turned out to be a beautiful building, and it's gotten some outside large almost like garage doors that they can open up during nice days like today, and the students can go outside to the fields right outside of the cafeteria, and they can just leave those doors open during lunch to get some nice fresh air when we don't have smoke in the air. And it has turned out to be a really nice multi-purpose building. We also have our band program in that particular building. So turned out really, really well.
All right, back with more in a moment. Dr. Paul Hillier, interim superintendent of the South Umpqua School District, part two in a moment. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1246, a news radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1. On Monday's Back to School Series edition of Inside Douglas County, the new principal of the Glide School District, Robert Freeman, will be with us. Dr. Paul Hillier now from South Umpqua School District, the interim superintendent for this year. Let's talk about funding in the district. Now, you come in as an interim superintendent, but as you look at the finances, how well do you think things are set this year?
This year, I think we're really pretty strong. What's good is we have the finances to provide supports for our teachers, both in the area of behavioral support and also in curriculum, where we have a math person and a reading person that can help our teachers. Looking forward, you know, some of these positions that have been funded through some of the COVID funds, and this will be the last year that we have those funds. So next year will be a little bit more of a stretch for us because we have three positions that were purchased out of COVID that we'll have to see if we can continue. But overall, really, our general fund is strong for providing the academics that we need for our students. I would say the biggest challenge we have, like a lot of school districts, is just in facilities, where we have facilities that are, you know, built in the 50s and so forth, that really have some needs that need to be addressed in the long term. And so those are probably our biggest economic challenges, is just making sure we keep our buildings up as we move forward. You know, you replace an air conditioning system in a building, you're talking $250,000, you know, and those types of things. And there's no specific funding from the state for that type of thing. So that stretches us a bit. But other than that, really pleased with the funds we have for our children this year.
What about hiring? Did you get all your positions filled?
We did, yes. We have 26 new employees in the district, and we are very fortunate to have all of our teachers hired a week before school started, which, as I understand it, is the first time that's happened in about 8 years. So that was very encouraging. And we still actually do have a couple of instructional assistant openings in the district, but just having only two is a good step forward.
Were there a lot of retirements last year?
You know, I'm not real sure, Kyle, on that, since that precedes me, and I have never asked that question. But we don't have very many new teachers this year, so I'm assuming the answer to your question is probably no. I think we only have about six new teachers in the district as a whole, so must not have had that many retirements.
Now, security is a big issue districts are looking at. How do you feel like things look at South Umpqua?
Well, that's an area of real focus for us from a couple of standpoints. One is we want to make sure that our planning for emergencies is very up to date. We want to make sure that we're working very cooperatively with other districts in the Douglas ESD, but also with the law enforcement from Douglas County. So we've put together a task force, which is meeting on a monthly basis, and it includes our SRO officer, Taylor Vian, is helping coordinate that work, as is Emily Veal, a principal from Tri-City. And then we've got the sheriff's department represented by our SRO officer. We've got the chief of police, Chief Brewster from Myrtle Creek, helping us with that. And then we have Chief Case from Cow Creek on that task force as well, really looking at what we need to do both with facilities and with our day-to-day operations to make sure that we are doing everything we can to keep our students safe.
When you were in the Midwest, I imagine some of the building design was not as open as some of the buildings here.
That is correct. And that does prevent a real challenge when you have those open spaces between buildings that students are transitioning from one class to the next through. And so that creates some things to really have to think about. And, you know, today, too, just the cost of making facility improvements to keep buildings secure is pretty significant. So we're also looking for funding opportunities and grants and things like that to really improve the entryways of our schools, like the Roseburg School District did this past year, because I think that's one of the keys to having a safe school is having a really controlled entrance for visitors.
Talk about the mood of students this year. It sounded like at the beginning you talked about it, seeing a lot of positive students returning to class.
Yeah, it has been very positive. Like I mentioned, when I'm just going through the schools, I'm just kind of judging by what I see in the classrooms and in the hallways and the demeanor of the students as they progress through the schools at breaks and so forth, and see a real enthusiastic group. I think they're glad to be back and enjoying the instructional process that they're going through. You know, what we really emphasize with instruction is to be engaging students in the instructional process and not having them be a passive audience. And I see that being exemplified within the district with how teachers are organizing their classes. We have five key things that we look for when we go into classrooms, and we have that consistent throughout the district, so the principals are giving teachers feedback and input on what they are seeing. And you know, I'm really happy with what I'm seeing happening in the classrooms.
Now, you mentioned the process for a permanent superintendent. A lot of work would be going on this school year for that. Is that something you're interested in?
No, I'm not. I'll be going back to retirement after this year. I have enjoyed it, I'll say that, but the plan was just for a one-year jaunt. We are really in the process of putting together the plan for the replacement superintendent, and the Oregon School Boards Association is the consultant that we are using for our work. We're going to be posting that position in mid-October, and we'll be posting it nationally, seeking candidates from across the nation. And then we hope to be starting the interview process early in January, probably the second week of January 2024, around January 10th, and then moving towards finalist interviews a couple weeks after that. So we'd be looking at around January 20th, interviewing whoever those finalists are, those two or three finalists, so that the goal really is by the February 5th board meeting, we would have a candidate that we would be approving with the school board early in February. So that's sort of our timeline, and we're going to work as diligently as we can to complete it.
Now, talk about the work of the school board coming in as an interim superintendent. What's it been like for you working with them so far?
It's been really good. We've got three new school board members, so they're kind of fresh just like I am and kind of learning the ropes. So it's been great working with them. It's a really good school board. The thing about the school board in South Umpqua, like probably most school boards, is they are really focused on what's best for students. And it's just really edifying working with community members such as our board, who really are there for the right reason, really to help our students be successful and do everything they can to help out. I mean, our board members help out in other ways, like a couple of them also coordinate our foundation, and the others are very active participants with their own children's education within our schools and so forth. So it's been a really good board to work with, and I think we're going to get a lot done this year working together.
Dr. Paul Hillier, Interim Superintendent of the South Umpqua School District, thanks for coming in.
I was glad to be here, Kyle.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.